Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you that we can be gathered together once again, and we can hear your word, we can open your word freely. Please send your Holy Spirit, Lord, to help us understand. The word of God, in spiritual things are spiritually discerned, and so we just pray for your Holy Spirit. And all these things we ask in Christ's name, amen. Well, we've been kind of going over Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 through 7. We've been looking at the three angels' messages, and we've been seeing what, you know, kind of what these messages are to the world right before the return of Christ is. And remember, we're living again, not in the head of gold, but in the feet of iron and clay, the toenails, right? So we know that we're close to the end. We saw Matthew 24, the signs of the times. So again, we're looking at the last message that God has for earth right before he leaves. It says, "Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come." You realize we've been really picking these verses apart. We looked at the gospel, right? The everlasting gospel. We looked at what it means to fear God, to give glory to him. We looked at what the hour of his judgment is. Tonight we're going to take a look at this and worship him who made heaven and earth and the sea and the springs of water. Now it's interesting when you look at this verse and you see that language there, it's an allusion to several passages in the Old Testament. Did you realize that Revelation, that's the last book in the Bible, all about prophecy, about last day prophecy, Revelation quotes the Old Testament in 278 verses. There's only 404 verses in the entire book of Revelation, and 278 of those are quote directly from the Old Testament. So that's a lot. So when you're trying to understand Revelation, it's really helpful to compare it with the Old Testament, because much of it is composed of the Old Testament. So let's take a look here at this reference here. We see worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water. Turn with me in your seminar Bible to, well, your own Bible too is fine. Exodus chapter 20, verse 11. But in your seminar Bible, it's page 99, and I double checked. It's the right page. Had some trouble with that last night. And while you're going there, let me see if I can fix this microphone. So again, that's page 99. I lost the little wind protector on this. Here it is. There we go. All right, so here we are. Page 99, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 11. And tell me if this sounds familiar here. Verse 11, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." So you heard that right there. In 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. In Revelation chapter 14, verse 7, it's a call to worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water. Worship the Creator. And the seventh day, the fourth commandment, the Sabbath, is a memorial of creation. So let's check this out. Let's study this a little bit more in depth in the Old Testament here. Back to the very first verse of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." The very first thing God did was he created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. And there was how many days of creation? 6 days. And then what did he do on the seventh day? He rested. Okay, so on the first day, he created light. You can read this in Genesis chapter 1. The second day, the firmament and the waters, the dry land and the plants appear, the sun, moon, and stars on the fourth day, the sea life and the birds, and animal life and humans on the sixth day. Then God saw everything. This is the end of the chapter. After everything is created, then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Sixth day is concluded. Then at Genesis chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3, "And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he had rested from all the work which he had made." So we see here that God, the seventh day is kind of a special day. We see that God, he does several things. He rests on the seventh day, he blesses it, and he sanctifies it. And then we see in the Ten Commandments, we see this command to rest once a week. You know that in our modern culture, that more medication is prescribed for stress and anxiety-related reasons than for any other reason. People are stressed out. And you know that a lot of major world religious leaders are calling for a renewal of this once-a-day rest to recharge physically and spiritually. You know, you hear it in the news sometimes. Even some people are talking about this. We need to get back to this rest. Well, God gave this to us in the very beginning. He gave us the seventh day to rest on. Notice four elements of the Sabbath. God blessed it. God sanctified it, so that means to set apart for a special or holy purpose. God rested on it. And then number four, it was the seventh day. So those are four elements. Now, apparently, the seventh day of creation is so important to God that it shows up in the middle of the Ten Commandments. It's the fourth commandment. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who's within your gates." So basically, everybody should take time to rest. Amen? Everybody should have that, at least that once a week rest. "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth." So again, it's referring to him as the creator. "God created the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Now, and again, we see those elements here. It says in the fourth commandment that God, he rested on the seventh day, he blessed it, he hallowed it, etc. And it was the seventh day. So those four things are mentioned there again in the fourth commandment as it was back in the beginning. Now, I have a question for you. When God created the earth, because, you know, some people have said, AJ, the Sabbath was for the Jews, right? That's not a thing for us anymore. You know, we're living in the 21st century. We're living in the New Testament. The Sabbath was a thing that was, you know, a Jewish tradition, and it's gone. It's done. It's passed. Well, let me ask you this question. When God created the light, did he create that for the Jews or for all of humanity? When God created the plants and the land and the vegetation, did he create that for the Jews only or for all of humanity? All of humanity. When God made the sun and the moon and the stars, that wasn't just for the Jews, it was for everybody. And on the seventh day, he gave that to us as a day of rest. As a special gift, a time between us and him, where we can spend time with him. And there's my slide. Wasn't the Sabbath day for the Jews only? Well, notice this. I want to just lead you through a couple of stories here, just to kind of show you the progression of the Sabbath through the Bible, and kind of see what God's purpose was for his people, the Sabbath, what his purpose of the Sabbath was for us, and, you know, just to show that it's how important it is for us today. So you remember Noah. Have you ever confused Noah and Moses? So who, you know, my friends, they sometimes mess with me like that. How many bees did Moses take on the ark? None, right? It was Noah. So you get those guys mixed up for some reason. Moses, he got the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, and the Ten Commandments had remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Now the question is, was that the first time that the Jews or the people of God kept the Sabbath? You know what this guy's doing right here? He's picking up little pieces of bread. They called it manna. Remember that? The little manna that God rained down from heaven while they're out in the desert so they could have food to eat. Notice this. This is Exodus chapter 16, verses 26 through 30. In Exodus 20, that's where God gives the Ten Commandments to Moses and to Israel. And that's where the seventh day, the Sabbath, is inscribed in stone. He says, 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, so 6 days you shall gather your manna, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. So in 6 days, there's going to be the food on the ground for you. You're going to pick it, and you can bake your cakes and do everything you want with it. But on the Sabbath day, there's going to be none. Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? You understand, this is before the Ten Commandments were given. They understood it. They understood and they knew by oral tradition, it was, you know, handed down to the people of God, you know, the idea and the knowledge of the Sabbath. But it wasn't inscribed in stone or written down until Mount Sinai. So he says here in verse 16, before the whole Mount Sinai experience, he gives them this manna, and he says, I'm not going to give you any on the Sabbath. He says, see, for the Lord God has given you the Sabbath, therefore he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Isn't God awesome? God gives you everything you need within the first 6 days so that you can rest on the seventh day. Amen? He wants you to take time to rest. It's very important for you physically, but also for you spiritually, to have that time, to not have to worry about bringing home the bread. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. So why do you think that God, he put remember when I shared with you the Billy Graham quote yesterday? There was the two kinds of laws, the moral law, which is the Ten Commandments, and the ceremonial law. Why do you think that God would put the Ten Commandment, or the fourth commandment, the Sabbath, in the moral law and not in the ceremonial law? And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man. Mark chapter 2, verse 27. This is Jesus speaking. You read throughout the Gospels, Jesus says over and over again, the Sabbath was made, God made the Sabbath for man. He didn't make man for the, you ever heard of that verse right there? God didn't make man, you understand that phrase, right? The Sabbath was made for us, to be a blessing to us, as something that would benefit us. But God didn't just make an arbitrary rule and make us have to keep that and follow that for arbitrary reasons. But rather, he made the Sabbath specially for us as like a gift. Therefore, he put it in the Ten Commandments so that it would be something that would be eternal and perpetual. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, for hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Jesus came and he was an example to us in everything. And so that leads us to the question, did Jesus keep the Sabbath if he was our example? Well, notice what it says in Luke 4:16. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Synagogue is the Hebrew word. It means the gathering place. It was like their church, right? So as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. So it was his custom. Now, is a custom something you do once or twice? That's it's a habit. It's a pattern, right? Your custom is to wake up and brush your teeth, right? So that's something you do every single day, not just, you know, once or twice. Did the apostles keep the Sabbath? Notice what it says here. Now, this is an interesting verse here. Luke chapter 23, verse 56. We're going to come back to this in a minute. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils. You know what they were preparing the spices and fragrant oils for, or who? For Jesus. He had been crucified. He was dead. They were about to lay him in the tomb. They laid him in the tomb, and they were preparing these fragrant oils and these spices to embalm him because he had been crucified. Then they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. This is what the followers of Jesus did even after he died. Then this is Acts chapter 13, verse 14. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And it goes on to say, so when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them on the next Sabbath. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. So even in the New Testament church, and we see the disciples, we see the apostles, we see them worshiping on the Sabbath and reaching out to people on the Sabbath. It was still a day of worship for them. So you see this as a custom, and it keeps, you know, moving on all the way through the Old Testament from the beginning of creation, Mount Sinai, through the history of Israel into the time of Jesus and even into the New Testament era. We see the Sabbath continues. So here's the question. Which day is the seventh day? What day is the seventh day? All right. This really helped me. You know, there was a time when I was really asking, I'm like, wait, what day is the seventh day? Was the calendar changed, or how can we be sure? What is the seventh day? Well, let's go take a look at this. This is gonna really be helpful. Luke chapter 23 and verse 54. Page 1372. And we're going to see something very interesting here. This is, again, talking about the crucifixion of Jesus, or right after he was crucified. And notice what it says here. Now, let's actually, why don't we jump back to verse 50, just so we can kind of get the context. You know, I had a friend share with me one time, when you really want to, when you read a Bible verse, and you're not really sure what it's saying, they say the best way to study that verse is use 20/20 vision. Read the 20 verses behind it and the 20 verses ahead of it. Then you'll know the context, and it'll help you really understand what the verse is saying. So I like to get the context sometimes. Let's back up to verse 50. Luke 23, verse 50. Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. He had not consented to their decision indeed, their decision to kill Jesus. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. He believed in Jesus. This man went to Pilate, Pontius Pilate, and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in the tomb that was hewn out of the rock, where no one had ever been laid before. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. So just keep that in mind. They laid Jesus in the tomb. You realize that, I don't remember when it was, but it hasn't been that long. I mean, it hasn't been that long since the excavators and archaeologists have excavated tombs where they had, you know, big round stones rolled in front of it. Skeptics used to say, that's crazy. You know, they never buried anyone like that in any ancient culture. Well, you know, archaeologists have shown that to be true. We now know that we find these kind of tombs in Israel. So here we are. We're in Luke chapter 23. It says Jesus was laid in the tomb. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. Verse 55 of Luke 23. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Now, so they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Now you jump down here, chapter 24, verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But was Jesus there? Surprise, surprise. The tomb was empty and the stone was rolled away. And so now notice what it says here in verse 2. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Now, I hope you didn't miss it, but if you notice right back up here in verse 1, what day was Jesus resurrected on? Which is? Sunday, right? Notice what it says in verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning. Back up here in Luke chapter 23, verse 56. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils. They rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Then very next verse, Luke 24, verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning. So there it is. Jesus was resurrected on the first day of the week, the day after Sabbath. So, the preparation day, the Sabbath day, then the first day of the week. Let me ask you this question. What day is Easter celebrated on? Sunday, Easter Sunday. What day is Good Friday celebrated on? Okay, just checking. All right. Good Friday, Saturday is the Sabbath day. The first day of the week is Sunday, Easter Sunday. That's when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, right? And so when they said the first day they came and Jesus was gone because he had been resurrected. And so we can see biblically that the first day of the week is Sunday. Now they didn't use that terminology back then. They said the first day of the week, the seventh day of the week, the third day of the week. these, you know, these terms like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they come from, you know, like the ancient Rome. They named them after, you know, certain gods like Thursday, Thor's Day, the god of thunder, Saturday, you know, Saturn, and so forth. And so we go by those names. Now, so we see that Sunday was the first day of the week. Now, the question is, somebody says, well, wasn't the calendar kind of messed up somewhere back in history there? Well, let's take a look at this here. This is September, the month of September, 1752 in the United States. Can you tell me, what do you see? What's wrong with that calendar right there? Something funny going on here. Do you see it? It's missing a few days there, isn't it? You realize that it took them a little while to figure out how to make a calendar that really works. You know, our calendar today is the product of, you know, a lot of calculation and a lot of time. And so now our calendar still is not exactly perfect. So every 4 years we have to have a leap day, like today. If it wasn't for, you know, because yesterday that our calendar was you know, off a little bit from the solar cycle or from the cycle of the, you know, the earth around the sun and so forth. And so to adjust for that, we have to add an extra day every 4 years. Well, back then they didn't have it all quite squared away. And so sometimes they would have to add 10 days or 15 days, right? And so the big one, this was a big one here in September 1752. Now, I want you to notice something. When they jumped from 2 to 14, it went from Tuesday to Wednesday to Thursday. Was the weekly cycle disrupted?
No.
It wasn't. And you can look at some other instances in history where they had to adjust and they had to add a leap week or a leap month to make the calendar come back into sync with the rest of the universe. But it never affected the weekly cycle. The weekly cycle has stayed the same, and thus we still celebrate Easter on Sunday, the first day of the week when Jesus was resurrected. And the seventh day is still the Sabbath of the Bible. It hasn't changed. So, oh, and by the way, did you know that in 108 of the world's languages, the word for the seventh day, Saturday, is Sabbath? How do you say Saturday in Spanish? Anybody know Spanish?
Sabado.
How do you say Sabbath in Spanish? Did I just say that? Okay. How do you say Saturday in Spanish? That's what I meant to say.
Sabado.
It's the same thing. And you know, the same way in Russian, the word for Saturday and Sabbath, it's the same word. So 108, and because they all trace their roots back to that you know, that common origin of understanding that the seventh day or the Saturday was the Sabbath. So what about the Lord's resurrection? Because some people that I've talked to, they've said, well, we keep Sunday because that's the day the Lord was resurrected. That's not a bad notion. The only thing is, the Bible does not have any place where it associates keeping the Sabbath with the Lord's resurrection. The only two things that we associate with the Sabbath are, number one, baptism. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. So again, baptism is the symbol of dying with Christ and being resurrected. But, you know, there's no association with Sabbath keeping there. Then, and this again, Luke chapter 22, verse 19, and he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. What's he talking about there? It's an ordinance called communion. You've heard of communion before? Keeping the communion? Yeah. So, Jesus, he gave them the ordinance. They would eat the bread and they would drink the wine. And that was, you know, a symbol of his blood and his body. And that was something he gave to us to remember his death and his resurrection in addition to baptism. So what about the Lord's Day? You know that there's only one place in the Bible where it mentions the Lord's Day, and that's in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. That's all it says. You know, it doesn't actually say, you know, what day the Lord's Day is. There's no indication or association with any day. It just says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. So, the next question is, the Lord's Day, according to Jesus and the Gospels, is Matthew chapter 12, verse 8, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. He also says, Mark 2:28, therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And he says again, Luke 6, verse 5, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. So we see the Lord's Day in Revelation 1:10, but whenever Jesus mentions, you know, being the Lord of any day, it's always of the Sabbath. And so again, we see this close association with the seventh day. And so, by the way, people need a little more time to take notes on that. Got it? Okay. So Exodus 20, verse 10, again, back to the Ten Commandments, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Making sense so far? Okay, I want to just share a few encouraging passages here with you. So we see that the seventh day is the Sabbath, and we see that even today the calendar is not changed. Notice what he says in Isaiah chapter 58, and let's turn there. Isaiah 58, verse 13, or page 930 in your seminar Bible. And notice the blessing that God offers to give us. Again, the Sabbath was given to us as something to be a blessing. And in the time of Jesus, if you read through the Gospels carefully, you'll notice that Jesus had a lot of controversy with the Pharisees and with the Sadducees regarding the Sabbath. Jesus, he wanted to heal people on the Sabbath, and he wanted to do, you know, good things on the Sabbath, and they had all of these rules and restrictions and regulations, and they were always bearing down upon him because of that. God gave us the Sabbath as a blessing for us to rest, and also as a day to take off from our regular routine of life and do things of a more benevolent nature, of a more spiritual nature, to have an appointment with God, a date with God, as it were. So again, Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
God has a huge, massive blessing in store for us in keeping the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. And when we understand what it is and what it means to us, and we understand how to keep the Sabbath, it's good. It's enriching. It's enlivening. And it gives us the rest that we need in our weekly cycle, our weekly work week. Why is it a special day? Notice what else he says. Ezekiel chapter 20 in verse 12. I want you to follow me. We're going to share this verse, and then we're going to think through something here really quick. So Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 12. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. It's a sign. He gave us the Sabbaths. He says that in verse 20 as well, by the way, Ezekiel 20, verse 20, for your notes. To be a sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. You know, there's 10 commandments, right? Okay. You know, the commandments say, honor your father and your mother. They say, do not kill, do not steal. Did you know you can go through all of those commandments and you can really think it through and you can say, it makes sense. This commandment makes sense. I don't want to kill. You know, if I were, let's say I were a secular person who didn't believe in God and I had no rationale for, you know, I didn't have any foundation in belief or faith in God, but I looked at the Ten Commandments, I could honestly say, you know, it makes sense to honor your father and your mother. Because, you know, it makes sense to not kill, otherwise society won't be able to function. It makes sense to not steal. And you can go through all of those and you can kind of work it through in your mind like that. But when it comes to the Sabbath day, it makes sense to rest, right? Once a week, that makes sense. But why the seventh day? Is there anything about that has any, you know, practical implications? God gave us one thing, to show, you know, to be a sign that between us and him that we are his. It's a sign. Now you're thinking, wait a second. Now what about? There's lots of good people who you know have been followers of Jesus who haven't kept the Sabbath. Well, here's the thing. A lot of people haven't really ever heard or known about the Sabbath or didn't understand about the Sabbath. That doesn't mean that God's not going to hold that against them. But that still doesn't change the fact that he gave us the Sabbath as a sign and to be a blessing to us. And when we understand what the Sabbath is and its significance, we have to understand that it's a sign. It's the seventh day is something that we do, not for any reason that we can think of ourselves, not for any good reason other than that we're just honoring and following God. It's simply a sign that we belong to Him. Hallow my Sabbaths, verse 20, here we go. Hallow my Sabbaths, and they will be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God. When does it begin? When does Sabbath actually start? Well, if you read through, creation, it you know how it mentions on the first day, the evening and the morning were the first day. Notice, it shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, from even unto even shall you celebrate your Sabbath. Have you ever, how the Jews, they keep Sabbath still, right? There's about 5 million Jews in America, and not all of them, are faithful to their roots. They're ethnically Jews, but they understand, historically and from their roots, they understand that the seventh day is the Sabbath, and they celebrate Sabbath from Friday evening until Saturday evening, from evening unto evening. That's just how the Bible reckons it. It's kind of a more of a 20th century notion to keep the, to think of our days in terms of from midnight to midnight. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. That's Genesis chapter 1, verse 5. And He says, so we see every day, and the evening and the morning were the third day. God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Okay, so you're like, okay, this is a good thought, AJ. So, but what does it actually mean to keep the Sabbath? How do I keep it holy? Well, the commandment says it right there. It says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, and nor your stranger who is within your gates. Now you're like, okay, what do you mean no work? Well, God is practical. I mean, He's not saying that you can't get up, and it's not like you can't do any work of any kind whatsoever. I mean, even Jesus, he did work, but He healed people on the Sabbath. It's a different kind of work. He's talking about resting from your regular secular affairs of life. Nehemiah, this is a good verse. Let's turn there really fast to Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 15. This is page 611, and this kind of gives some more insight into what it means to keep the Sabbath here. Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 15. And again, that's page 611. Nehemiah, he was the one who actually led the people of Israel to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem after it had been destroyed by the Babylonians. Nehemiah is a fascinating book. They rebuilt Jerusalem, the wall of Jerusalem, in 50 days. Incredible story. So Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 15, notice what he says. In those days, I saw people in Judah treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and bringing in sheaves and loading donkeys with wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I warned them about the day on which they were selling provisions. So it involves doing these kind of works. It involves selling and buying. Men of Tyre dwelt there also, who brought in fish and all kinds of goods and sold them on the Sabbath to the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Then he goes on to say, I contended with the nobles. This is verse 17. I contended with the nobles of Judah and said to them, what evil thing is this you do, by which you profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers do thus? And did not our God bring all this disaster on us and on this city? Yet you bring added wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath. So it was at the gates of Jerusalem, as it began to be dark before the Sabbath, that I commanded the gates to be shut and charged that they must not be opened till after the Sabbath. Then I posted some of my servants at the gates so that no burdens would be brought in on the Sabbath day. Now the merchants and the sellers of all kinds of wares lodged outside Jerusalem once or twice. Then I warned them and said to them, why do you spend the night all around the wall? If you do so again, I will lay hands on you. From that time on, they came no more on the Sabbath. So they had business partners who were used to doing work with them on the Sabbath, and Nehemiah had to make it clear that this is something they couldn't do anymore. So, by the way, who recognizes this picture here? You know who that is right there? Wright brothers, right? Right? So this is right here, Wilbur and Orville Wright, when they're on the sand dunes of Kitty Hawk, and they're flying their first airplane that was ever, you know, flown. And I read this biography about them recently. It was very interesting. I caught this one quote that kind of surprised me at first, but then as I thought about it, it made sense. So when they were, the brother Wilbur, the older brother, he was over in France, and he was doing some demonstrations there to the French people, of the aircraft, because the French government wanted to buy, you know, the blueprint to make this thing. And so he was going to do some demonstrations for them, and it was finally it was on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday. He started, you know, getting this thing up into the air, and he was flying it around there in this little town in France, and the people were cheering. Thousands of people came out, and they couldn't believe it. They're like, finally, man can fly, you know. And so they were really impressed. It's about 1907, and notice what it said here. This was after Saturday, you know, the sun had gone down and the Wilbur had landed his airplane. It says, as was explained in the French press, today, because it is Sunday, Mr. Wright, a good American, would not think of breaking the Sabbath. The crowd came to Hanateris, would have to be content with looking at the closed hangar. So they came back on Sunday, but Mr. Wright, Wilbur Wright, refused to fly his airplane because it was Sunday, it was the Sabbath. Now, of course, you know, a lot of people have, you know, through history have believed that Sunday was the Sabbath, the first day of the week. And so I got to thinking about this, and I'm like, what's the deal with this? And then I remembered that I know some people, you know, from a few generations ago, you know, my grandparents, by the way, there's some big stretches of generations in my family. My grandpa was born in 1898. Can you believe that? My dad was born in 1945. My grandparents and your grandparents and your great-grandparents used to be, you would understand this, Americans used to keep the Sabbath. It used to be a big deal in our culture. People wouldn't work on Sunday. People wouldn't buy and sell things on Sunday. Sunday, or the Sabbath, was a sacred day. Do you know who this guy is right here? Well, I gave you his name right there, but who was, I'm from Missouri, right? Who was the president who came from Missouri, the president of the United States? Truman, right? Was he the only president? Check this out. David Rice Acheson, he was from Missouri. He was president of the United States for one day. One day. He came before Truman. Pretty interesting. So notice this. James K. Polk, his term as president ended on Sunday, March 4, 1849. Zachary Tyler was the next president, incoming president, but because he had convictions about the Sabbath, he refused to be inaugurated on Sunday because it was the Sabbath. And so he's like, no, we have to wait till tomorrow. And so by constitutional law, the senator, I forget what the term was, but because of his position in the Senate, he automatically was the president. So he was technically the president for one day until Zachary Taylor was sworn in on the next day. The funny thing was, is that Acheson had been working so hard that week that on Sunday morning he never woke up. He slept. He slept all day long on Sunday. So he slept through his entire presidency. He woke up Sunday night, and then he found out on Monday. They said, hey, you know you were president, right? And he's like, oh, wow. He went on to say that, in fact, here's his tombstone. President of the United States for one day, Sunday, March 4, 1849. He went on to say that he had the most honest administration of any president in history. He slept through his presidency and didn't do a thing. So the interesting thing is, and by the way, you know you've heard of the old famous hymn writer. A lot of people have heard of Fanny Crosby. She was blind, and she wrote some of the most beautiful hymns that are sung in any church on any Sunday morning today. She wrote a song called Don't Forget the Sabbath. She was thinking, of course, of Sunday, but it's a beautiful hymn. She says, don't forget the Sabbath. How does it go? Don't forget the Sabbath. I can't think of it right now, but she says, welcome, welcome, ever, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. It brings repose from labor. It tells of joy divine. It's beams of light descending with heavenly beauty shine. She just loved the Sabbath, and she kept faithfully every Sunday. Now, of course, she didn't understand. You know, she didn't know. A lot of people didn't know that that the seventh day is the real Sabbath, and we've been keeping Sunday because of tradition. But the fact of the matter is, Americans used to keep Sabbath. It used to be an important thing here, and we've kind of lost touch with that. And because of that, we see a lot more stress and anxiety in our culture today. Now, here's the question. So we see that the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Bible, biblically speaking, and for tradition, and I'm going to talk about it in a future seminar, but there's reasons why we keep, why so many Americans and so many people around the world keep Sunday today. We'll talk about that more, but it's been for over 1,000 years that tradition got started. The question is, will Sabbath be kept in the future according to the Bible? You know it says in Isaiah 66, verses 22 through 23, "For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship me, says the Lord," speaking of the new world, the new heavens. We're going to worship God on the seventh day on Sabbath in heaven. Amen? So just some details about the Sabbath that we've studied so far. We've seen that, number one, it was given at creation. Number two, it was kept before Mount Sinai, before the Ten Commandments. It was again given on Sinai in the two tables of stone, the Ten Commandments. It was kept by Jesus. Jesus kept the Sabbath. It was honored by the disciples in the New Testament. It's on the Lord's Day. It was kept by the apostles. It was kept by Gentiles. It's a sign that He is our God. It's a signal and an indication that we worship God. It will be kept in the new earth. And finally, it's a memorial of creation and redemption. It says, by the way, it says in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the Sabbath day is the seventh day, is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day." So we keep the Sabbath, and it reminds us of creation, but it reminds us of more than that. In Deuteronomy 5, the Ten Commandments is repeated, and it adds this. It says, "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, male servant, female servant. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord God commanded you to keep the Sabbath." God redeemed us from Egypt, from bondage to slavery. And He says, "I want you to remember that on the Sabbath. Remember that I created you, I made you, I formed you. I love you, and I redeemed you, I saved you from sin." That's what God gave us the Sabbath for, and to rest, and to have time with Him, creation and redemption. And so we see in Revelation chapter 14, we see the three angels' message, and it says, "Worship Him who is our Creator and our Redeemer." And at the end of that message, it says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Worship Him who made the heavens and the earth, the sea and the springs of water." Friends, has it been clear tonight that, number one, the seventh day, that the Sabbath is on the seventh day? Has that been clear? If that's at least clear, can you raise your hand with me? Is that clear? Okay. Cool. I just want to make sure if there's anything. I am so open for questions, by the way. If you have any questions with me about this topic, I would love to chat with you more. In fact, I have a book for you. If you want to study deeper, if you would like to commit and say, "I would like to study deeper." By the way, can I have Debbie and Kayla come forward? We're going to read one more verse here in just a minute, and then we'll close. But if you would like to study deeper into this subject, say, "You know what? I really want to know more about the Sabbath." Would you raise your hand and say, "You know what? I want to study deeper into this." Would you like to? Okay, cool. If you would like a book, come talk to me, and I have a book for you. It gives you more of a history of the Sabbath. So please see me at the end here, and I have some material for you if you're like, "Hey, wait a second, I want to see more verses, I want to see more history, etc." And we have that for you. And then finally, I just want to ask you, I'm going to ask you this question. Let's go ahead and turn to our last verse, Matthew 12. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12. And the page number is 1,265. So it's clear that the seventh day is on the Sabbath. Is it clear that God gave the Sabbath as a gift? Can you say amen if that's clear? Amen. Amen. Okay. Lastly, are you willing to give the Sabbath a shot? Are you willing to say, you know what, Lord, I want to keep the Sabbath? And you may not know exactly what that means for you right now, but God will show you. You know, it may be new to you tonight, and you might be like, okay, so keeping the Sabbath, what does that mean for me? You know, what does it mean I have to not do or not or do or not do? You know, the Sabbath isn't a burden. The Sabbath is a blessing. So I urge you to study more. But if the Sabbath is clear to you, and you see that God has given you this gift, it's on the seventh day, it's clear, it's a sign that you're His follower, are you willing to say, you know what, Lord, I want to keep the Sabbath. I want to honor it. I want to do the Sabbath. Will you raise your hand with me if you're willing to do that tonight? Amen. Praise God. Our last verse is Matthew chapter 12, verse 9. He says, "Now when he had departed from there, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, 'Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?' That they might accuse him." You see, the Jews, they had all of these false notions about the Sabbath. Whenever human beings come in with all of the, you know, and make up false notions, false rules, and false ideas about something God has made, it complicates things. But when we just understand what God has given us in its pure simplicity, it's a blessing. Jesus went about and he healed and he did good things on the Sabbath. But the Jews, they wouldn't have any of it. It said in verse 11, Matthew 12, verse 11, then he said to them, "What man is there among you who has one sheep, if he falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it's lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. You realize that Jesus wants to make you whole and restore you on the Sabbath. He wants to give you a spiritual blessing on the Sabbath. He wants to have time with you like on no other day of the week. And the Pharisees, they wanted to kill him and destroy him for that because it didn't fit their rules. You realize that one of the reasons Jesus was crucified was because he kept the Sabbath. One of the reasons they hated him was because he was a Sabbath keeper. Jesus honored the Sabbath, and therefore they sought to kill him.
God took 6 days and created earth and moon, the stars and sun. On the
Heavenly Father, thank you for this sacred Sabbath day that you've given us, Lord. You've given it as a gift. You made the you didn't make man for the Sabbath. You made the Sabbath for us, for man. It's a beautiful gift, Lord, a gift that the world has lost sight of. The day that you said, remember, we have forgotten, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that tonight that your word will be clear in our minds. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that we'll be able to remember the Sabbath day. We'll be able to enter into joy divine. We'll be able to draw near our Savior and experience that rest physically and spiritually and draw close to you on the sacred seventh day, Lord. Please come, be our teacher, be our guide, be our example, Lord, and help us follow you as our great leader, our shepherd, Lord, who yourself was an example to us in all things, Lord, and you yourself even kept the Sabbath, Lord. Even while you were dead, buried in the tomb, Lord Jesus, you lied in the grave, and you rested on the Sabbath even then, Lord Jesus. Thank you for this gift, Lord Jesus. Make it clear to our hearts and our minds. Everything you've given us is for our own good, precious Jesus. And we thank you, Jesus, that you love us this much. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, friends, thank you for coming out tonight. Just remember that for next time, your homework is to read Daniel 7. Read Daniel 7. But also just remember that no meeting on Tuesday or Wednesday. So I hope you don't forget, because there's no meeting tomorrow. God bless you. We'll see you around. Okay. Oh, and remember, for those of you who we're going to meet with Pastor Godfrey about baptism in the back here.